makes him Con O'Connell. He was born and raised in Cork City, Ireland, and emigrated to Toronto, Canada in his early 20s, and he's lived here ever since. So that means he moved here in about 1966, and so that definitely does make him a bit of an old geezer, but the coolest, hippest old geezer that I know. So Dad, let's start off the show with maybe a song from your 20s. Why don't we start off the show with the Beatles' Hard Day's Night, and then we'll come back and we'll chat, okay?
Sounds good.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel alright. You know I work all day to get your money to buy a thing, and it's worth it just to hear you say you're gonna give me everything. So why on earth should I moan? 'Cause when I get you alone, you know I feel okay. When I'm home, everything seems to be right. When I'm home, feeling you holding me tight, tight, yeah. It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog.
A Hard Day's Night by the Beatles. You're listening to Dangerfield on 101.5 FM The Hawk. As I mentioned before the break, tonight I'm joined with the legendary Con O'Connell, aka my father. So Dad, it's great to have you on the show tonight. For those that know you, they know that I've received my love of music through you. So growing up, we always had music playing in the house. You're a huge fan of music. You support a lot of community radio stations and every artist across the range. So if anyone looked at your music collection, they would be very confused, but they would also basically see that your brain itself is its own radio station. So before the song we just heard was Hard Day's Night by the Beatles. And you grew up in the 60s. So you grew up where you were coming of age in the 60s when rock and roll was first kind of hitting the airwaves. That was when you were in Ireland. What was that experience like? And what was the music that kind of preluded that? And what was that kind of music revolution like?
Yeah, it was a very unusual time, especially in Ireland. We had one radio station and that didn't play, well, they didn't really know rock and roll. And it was kind of the 50s music, things like Hot Jiggity, Dog Jiggity, Boom, What You Do to Me. That would be a typical song that you'd be hearing. But then what happened then, there was a radio station called Radio Luxembourg that came on, and that was the one that brought rock and roll to Ireland. And we would stay every Sunday night. They would have a top 20 thing. So that's when we got exposed to people like Elvis Presley and all of those kind of ones. And it just blew our minds. And, you know, I remember coming home from school one day with my friend, and he said, "Have you heard of a guy called Elvis Presley?" I said, "No." He said, "He's amazing." So that was kind of the start of it.
Right.
And it was a magical time because we were exposed to Buddy Holly, you know, all of those kinds of people. And then what was really interesting is I was a fanatical soccer fan and a soccer player. And we had our own little soccer club, and we decided that we would do some fundraising. So we said, why don't we have a record hop? And for people like you, you wouldn't know what a record hop was. But that was when people came and we played records and they danced to it. So we put an ad in the paper, and we booked a hall, and I borrowed a turntable. And then we had an electrician friend who had two speakers, and we put them on the stage. And I sat on the stage, and I had a bunch of 45 records and played them. And the first night we had 50 people, so that was a tiny crowd, but they enjoyed themselves. Mm-hmm. So I went home then, and this is before the digital age, mm-hmm. and I took a copybook of paper, and I cut it into squares, tiny squares, and I wrote on it, record hop next Saturday, Father O'Leary Hall, admission £1. And I gave 20 to my sisters, and I gave 20 to my friends, and they took them to all the schools. And the next Saturday, we had 200 people.
Holy cow.
And we then, the word got around, mm-hmm. so we started getting 500 people a night. So we were making a fortune.
Yeah.
And my job then, of course, as DJ, which was, I would put the three records on, three fast ones, which would be jive songs. Then I would say, next dance, please. Then I would take three slow songs. I'd put them on the record player and play them. And then during the week, I would go downtown with all my money and every hot record that I could find that would just have just come into the country. I would bring it and play it, and people would go nuts because they'd be asking for replays of the songs, you know, like Ricky Nelson, you know, Hello Mary Lou, those kind of things. So that was an amazing time. And we were 17, 18 years old. You know, there were lots of girls around. It was magical. And 500 people, we decided, why don't we do it two nights a week? So we did it Wednesdays and Saturdays. 500 people came to that too. So then our soccer team, when we had to play a soccer game out of town, we would rent a big Mercedes bus. We would buy all the best gear. We had footballs, we had shoes, everything. It was fantastic.
That's so incredible.
So that was the 60s for us. It was a magical time.
That's incredible. Well, let's listen to Ricky Nelson's Hello Mary Lou, and then we'll come back and chat more, okay?
And we can do some driving while it's on.
Right. Lou by Ricky Nelson. I'm joined tonight by Con O'Connell, my dad, who just finished telling us an incredible backstory about his late teenage years when he was a DJ and professional soccer player in Ireland. And that's a really interesting story. And wasn't there, I think we were talking about this the other week, about how back in that time, because those musicians weren't touring over there, weren't there kind of like show bands that would take?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. The thing is that all of these stars that you heard on radio, you know, the Buddy Hollies and all these people, they never came to Ireland because Ireland was a backwater at that time. But what we had then is bands that started up, which they call show bands, and they usually had about 8 people in them, and they could, and some of them were just incredibly good, they would actually mimic all the songs. So you had a guy who could do Elvis, you had a guy who could do Buddy Holly, you could do the Beach Boys, everything like that. And some of those bands were just awesome. And then that started a whole boom time of dance music in Ireland. And dance halls would have 5,000 people on a Saturday night. 5,000 people.
Holy cow.
All the girls on one side, all the guys on the other side. And then it was mayhem when the music would start. You'd rush over to the other side. You'd see the girls running away from the ugly guys and rushing towards the good-looking guys. So I didn't get much action.
But didn't you meet Mom at one of those dances, though? Isn't that true?
That's how I met Mom in one dance. I had a crush on Mom. Uh-huh. We were out of town. She had come down by bus with 2 of her friends. She asked for a ride home from my friend. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, we already have 3 women bringing home. So I said, no, we got lots of room, because I was the driver. So we brought the 3 of them. So we had, in our little Anglia car, we had 9 people.
What?
With a stick shift car, 9 people. And the job that I had was to make sure, as I dropped the people off in the city, that I would be left only with Mom in the car.
That's
and
great.
I worked it out, and I asked her for a date. And that's why you're here now.
Yeah, and so I remember you came to Ireland, Toronto in 66, and so then, 66. And then Mom came, I think, in 67.
Yes.
And so then we start kind of getting into the 60s and Flower Power and San Francisco and all of that. And
yes.
So maybe let's play this song, San Francisco.
Yeah, Scott McKenzie, and it was a one-hit wonder for him, but it was a wonderful one. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge memory we both have, and we actually went to San Francisco and went down to Haight-Ashbury and all those kinds of things many years later.
I remember that because I remember you reenacted the famous photo of the Grateful Dead at the sign with you and Mom.
That's right.
I have that on my wall when I was in university. Okay, let's listen to that. It's a song originally written by John Phillips of the Mamas and the Papas. It actually was released in June 67 to promote the Monterey Pop Festival. So let's listen to that and we'll come back.
Okay.
If you're going to San Francisco, San Francisco. such a strange vibration.
Be Sure to Wear Flowers in Your Hair, sung by Scott McKenzie, written by John Phillips of the Mamas and the Papas. So we were talking, and I'm joined tonight on Dangerfield by Con O'Connell, my father. And so we were talking a little bit about Elvis as well earlier. And so we as a family took a really wonderful trip, I'd say about three or four years ago. And what we did is we took this kind of musical road trip through the South, and so we I think it was a trip that I think I planned it with you and Mom on board, and then I remember our sisters by the end of the trip were like, did you just trick us into going to all of the music studios in the South? Because every couple hundred miles, I'd say, oh, I've got another thing planned for us today. And so on that trip, we went to the Nashville Country Music Hall of Fame. We went to RCA Studio B, where Elvis recorded a bunch. We went to Fame Studios. We went to Muscle Shoals. We went to Sun Studios. And then we ended it all at Graceland.
Yeah.
With Elvis, what was that experience like? Did you ever think when you were growing up, in the 60s, that you would ever end up at Elvis's house? Like, what was that experience like?
Well, he was just so iconic, mm-hmm. And it was a sad, sad ending, of course, for his life. But he was the king.
Why don't we listen to a song by Elvis called All Shook Up, and then we'll come back and we'll chat, okay?
Yeah, and you can, while you're listening to that, you can think of all the teenagers bopping to that back in Cork in 1963.
Awesome.
Well, bless my soul, what's wrong with me? I'm itching like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say I'm acting wild as a bug. I'm in love, I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah. Well, my hands are shaky and my knees are weak. I can't seem to stand on my own two feet. Who do you think of when you have such luck? I'm in love, I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, please don't ask me what's on my mind. I'm a little mixed up, but I feel fine. When I'm near the girl that I love best, my heart beats so it scares me to death. When she touches my hand, oh, what a chill I got. Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say that she's my buttercup. I'm in love, I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. My tongue gets tied when I try to speak. My insides shake like a leaf on a tree. There's only one cure for this body of mine. That's to have that girl and a love so fine. She touched my hand and what a chill I got.
Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say that she's my buttercup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh, yeah, yeah. I'm all shook up.
That was All Shook Up by Elvis Presley.
You realize later on, like, you know, he was a rock and roller in our time, but you realize really that he had a fantastic voice and he sang some amazing ballads through time. But the funny story, when we were in the Elvis Hotel in Graceland, as you know, and I went into the washroom. Oh, yeah, so when we were in Graceland, all the music that was piped in was Elvis, Elvis. And no matter where you went, it was just music was everywhere. So I went into the washroom to use the urinal, and there was a guy standing next to me, and there was music playing, you see. So I said, "Excuse me, who's that singing?" And he looked at me, and then he realized, ha, 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 you know. But he said something very interesting. He said, you know, he was from North Carolina. He said, you know, my grandkids don't know who Elvis was. He said, so this place is going to be dead in another 20, 30 years because nobody's going to know him, you know? So I said, well, maybe. But
well, yeah,
people know him still 60 years later, they know him, you know, so.
Well, you never know, though, because I think there's so much of music is cyclical where, you know, younger generation, for example, gets influenced by an older generation and all that song blow up. Speaking of generations kind of merging, so there's a pretty great story of you. So in July 30th, 2003, Toronto was just coming out of a pandemic known as SARS. And there was a concert held called the Molson Canadian Rocks for Toronto. And so that was a concert that had Canadians such as Sam Roberts, Blue Rodeo, Kathleen Edwards, and then also some international huge names such as, you know, the Rolling Stones.
Justin Timberlake got booed off the stage.
Right. And so take the listeners through kind of what that day was like for you
Well, what happened was, you know, we live a couple of miles away from the place where the concert was, and there were 500,000 people that went to that concert, and it was kind of the opening up of the city after the SARS pandemic. And I remember coming home and saying, I'm going to the SARS concert. And you guys, you kids said, Dad, you're going to die. You can't go there. You'll die. So I said, no, I'm going anyway. So you gave me a sleeping bag. You gave me all these grains to eat and water and everything. And I went there, and it was a fantastic experience, just, you know, 500,000 people. And then I found out then that you wound up coming there, and we actually met each other in the 500,000 people.
Yeah.
And it was a time when we had cell phones, but there were so many people using them that the cell phone towers couldn't handle all the crowds. But it was a memorable thing. And the one thing that struck me was the Stones were the lead band, supposedly. Mm-hmm. But AC/DC was the band that blew everybody away that night. They were just incredible. And I have the DVD of that concert. And I have a photograph taken from an airplane. And I have an X where I lay for 12 hours in the baking sun.
That's right.
So it was a great experience.
And you actually wrote a really great article about that day. You should kind of resurface that and post it to your Facebook.
Yeah, well, what I'm going to do is when the anniversary comes up, I'm going to try and submit it to somebody who may publish it.
What song would you like to hear maybe from AC/DC? We'll listen to a song off of it.
It Shook Me All Night Long.
Okay, perfect. So this is AC/DC, You Shook Me All Night Long.
Yeah.
Listening to 101.5 The Hawk, Dangerfield, and we'll listen to that and we'll come back. is AC/DC, You Shook Me All Night Long. I'm joined tonight on Dangerfield with Con O'Connell, my dad. He just finished telling us a wonderful story about his experience at SARStock. And so, Dad, we've been to many concerts over the years together. And you and Mom are really amazing supporters of music. So you've seen countless of our friends' concerts, you know, everyone from the Parr Brothers to supporting, you know, bands that I used to be roommates with. And we had you, Mom, and I had a great trip. I'd say it was probably around, what was it, about 8 years ago, down to St. Louis together.
Yeah. And the story there is interesting. I remember you phoned me up one time and you said, is Chuck Berry still alive? And I said, yeah, I think he is. I think he's living down in Missouri. And then you phone back about an hour later. He's still doing concerts. He's 85 years old. He's still doing concert once a month. And you can book him in. And the day after his concert, you book your tickets. And there's no refund because he might die before the concert is on. So we booked it and we got there and it was a club about a couple of hundred people, I think.
Yeah, Blueberry Hill, right?
We were actually able to stand right next to him, and like he was 85. So all he would do is he would do the opening riff that he was famous for the songs, you know, up in the morning and out to school or whatever. And then his son would do the long riff then afterwards and that, you know. But that was an amazing experience.
Well, why don't we listen to a song then by Chuck Berry? Why don't we listen to Roll Over Beethoven, and we'll boogie along to it.
Okay.
Well, I'm gonna write a little letter. I'm gonna mail it to my local DJ. Yeah, it's a jumping little record I want my jockey to play. Roll over Beethoven, I gotta hear it again today. You know my temperature rising, the jukebox blowing a fuse. My heart beating rhythm and my soul keep a singing the blues. Roll over Beethoven, tell Tchaikovsky the news. I got the rocking pneumonia, I need a shot of rhythm and blues. After rolling off a rider, sitting down at a rhythm review. I roll over Beethoven, they're rocking in two by two. Well, if you feel it and like it, go get your lover, then reel and rock it. Roll it over, then move on up, just a trifle further, then reel and rock with. Run another, roll over Beethoven, dig these rhythm and blues. She wiggle like a glowworm, dance like a spinning top. She got a crazy partner, you ought to see him reel and rock. Long as she got a dime, the music won't never stop. I roll over Beethoven, I roll over Beethoven, I roll over Beethoven, I roll over Beethoven.
That was Chuck Berry singing Roll Over Beethoven. And actually, speaking of statues, so and kind of rock and roll, so I was just, that just prompted me to think of some Irish rock and rollers. And so one of those is Rory Gallagher. And so got a bit of a connection with him. So for those who haven't heard of Rory Gallagher, maybe you could fill people in a little bit on his legacy.
Yeah, Rory was a guy that we grew up with in back in Cork. He was living in Cork. He would probably be maybe 5 or 6 years younger than me, but he was very noticeable because he had long hair. at the time when long hair wasn't very fashionable, and he always had a guitar on his back. He turned out to be rated probably one of the top blues guitarists in the whole world. And actually, your friend from Guns N' Roses, Slash, mm-hmm. when Slash was asked about who were the influences for him, he said Rory Gallagher. And one of the experiences that I had was, this is back in the 70s, I guess, there was a program on NBC every night, every Saturday night about 1 o'clock in the morning, and it was just rock and roll kind of concert type thing. And the guy said, and I didn't know Rory Gallagher was anybody at that time, and the guy said, now here's Rory Gallagher. And here comes Rory Gallagher, and I said to my wife, I said, that's Rory Gallagher.
And
I was blown away, like, you know, this weed of a guy that, you know, we just thought was a geeky guy, but he is the most incredible guitar player. Any of your listeners, if you want to hear some real blues, and just he's awesome.
And interesting fact, his grave is a couple of graves down from your father, my grandfather.
That's right.
And it's the coolest grave. And I remember, I mean, I don't know if this is sacrilege or what, but every time you go there, you come home with a pick from his grave for me.
Yeah, you steal picks all the time from Rory's grave. And there are people that they come from Germany and they leave little picks saying, you know, to Rory, we love you, you know, and all that.
I think the last time we were there, we dropped off some, though. So it would go.
Yeah. The only thing is, at my age now, when I go, not only do I see Rory's grave, but I see graves of my friends there, too. I remember the first time I saw a guy I played soccer with, I said, holy crap, he's dead.
Man. Yeah, and then and who was the other one? Oh, Paul Brady was the other one that.
Oh, that was funny. Yeah. Paul Brady is another amazing, iconic ballad player and musician. When we were over in Ireland, you were at Electric Picnic, which is the biggest music festival in Ireland. And I remember you phoned me. We were in Cork. You were up at the picnic, Electric Picnic, and you phoned me and said, "Have you heard of a guy by the name of Paul Brady?" I said, "Paul Brady, I got all his records." He said, "Well, he's coming to Toronto in October. I'll introduce you to him." And I said, "What a little twit, you know." He knows the guy that I
you know. We saw him at Hugh's Room in Toronto, which is a wonderful venue.
Yeah, Hugh's Room, yeah. And not only that, but who's a big fan of Paul Brady is Bob Dylan.
Yes.
And there's a song that Paul Brady does called Arthur McBride. And it was recorded by Bob Dylan. And the guy that showed Bob how to sing it and play it was Paul Brady. And that's a great story, too.
Cool.
Mary, you grew up at a time when we were really moving into different. We were moving from 45s and LPs to cassette tapes and CDs. And at the time when cassette tapes were around, you got into the habit of making cassette tapes for yourself and for everybody. And I remember in 1994, which was, you were probably about 16 or something like that at the time, my dad died in Ireland, so I had to fly over for the funeral. And when I opened up my little briefcase in the airplane, there was a cassette tape. And it had a picture of you and me on it, and you had a selection of music. And of course, that time I had a Walkman, and I put the cassette in. And one of the songs that was very touching that I listened to that night on the plane going over was Jan Arden singing Good Mother, because it was just a beautiful song. There's a lot of other songs on there, but I can't remember what they were. And I don't have a cassette player to play them anymore. So
awesome.
But that one's got a good memory, and it's a beautiful song. It's a beautiful song.
Well, let's listen to that.
I
That was Good Mother by Jan Arden. We're listening to Dangerfield, and I'm joined with Con O'Connell tonight. We're just talking our way through a lot of different musical memories. So it's been such a great time so far having my dad join me on the show, considering he's the person who got me into music. And so growing up, there was always music playing at the house. And another great thing about you, Dad, is that you always had you're always interested in checking out new music as well. So if I remember back in the day, remember when Napster first came about? And
Napster, man.
I had
a computer that could download a song off Napster. Yeah. It would take 10 minutes to download one song on 54K router. Mm-hmm. And I actually did a song that I just thought of now. It was Clarence Frogman Henry, "You Always Hurt the One You Love."
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't find that anywhere, but I eventually found it. And then I started to download it, and I watched it, and I watched it, and watched it. And I was shout upstairs to you guys, "Don't pick up the phone." So I eventually got it anyway. It was magic, and I still have that song.
Yeah, because that's back when the internet connection was routed through the phone line, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And so let's talk a little bit about that. So the kind of dawn of technology in the world that it opened up. And so you're someone who, and you know, mom can attest to this, you fall asleep every night with headphones in your ear.
Yeah.
Probably.
I fall asleep during the day sometimes like that too.
Yeah. And so I think you've discovered just so many different worlds through internet radio. Can you talk a little bit about some of your discoveries and some things that you've found because of that?
Well, even in Toronto, like there's a good Irish community.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the day, like you're on a community radio right now with Mohawk, but there was Ryerson Radio in the city. And there's a guy, Colm O'Brien, who has a program called The Long Note. And it's all Celtic music. It doesn't have to be Irish Celtic, but it could be Welsh, could be Scottish, all that type of thing. And he's just a vast knowledge. And he was on every Sunday night with his music. Then on Saturday morning, there's a group that have a thing called Keolagus Crack, which is music and fun. They are on Saturdays. And then on Sunday, there's the Hugo Strani show. And all those are basically community type radios. And they're a huge link to the Irish community here. And they're invaluable. So when you have, you know, let's say somebody passes away, that's the kind of network that tells everybody what's happening. And of course, then, you know, you have anniversaries and births and all that sort of stuff.
Right. Yeah, I know that. I mean, you speak very highly every week of you know, Hugo Strani and the Keolagus Crack fellows. So there's a song that it's by Christy Hennessy.
That
song, beautiful song called "Remember Me." Can you talk a little bit about that song?
Yeah, well, that song is just a magnificent song, and it's basically you laugh at this, but my wife and I have decided that whoever dies first, that song is going to be played, because I know it's funny, but it's not funny too.
No.
The song is a magnificent song because it says it's the voice of somebody who's passed on saying, "Remember me when you're feeling blue. Remember me when things are not going well, because I will always be with you," you know?
Remember me whenever you're blue. Remember me when there's no one holding you. Anytime you feel like you can't make it through, remember me and I will be with you. Remember me whenever and I will be with you. Every night and every day I'll be by your side. Just reach out and take my hand. Whenever you're afraid, remember me if there's someone in my place. Anytime you feel like you can't make it through, remember me and I will. And I will be with you.
This guy, Christy Hennessy, who's an Irish singer, sings it, and he wrote it too. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful song. And beautiful. I just love the lyrics. I'm a kind of a lyrics man anyway. Mm-hmm. So I love the lyrics of that. And I think it's just beautiful.
Speaking of that, so you've written a few songs in your day. So one of the songs that you wrote was called Vietnam to Iraq. And that was actually, I remember I've had two friends that covered it. And it ended up on Neil Young's Living with War website. Remember that?
And that's right, yeah.
So
yeah.
You're a great lyricist. And so, I mean, you're also a comedic lyricist. You've got a song called The Viagra Song.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
A song
I also wrote a song, a song that I really like. There's a park that was opened in Ireland, in Toronto, called Ireland Park, for the famine victims that came over in 1847. And a friend of mine, Ethna Heffernan, who was a beautiful singer and a harpist, she was actually wanted to write us to have a song about that, so I wrote a song about that, and it's just magnificent.
Yeah, it is. No, because
it's got about 2,000 views on YouTube.
Well, but, that's great, though.
Ireland Park, Hallowed Ground. So anybody wants to listen to it, that's on YouTube.
The other thing I wanted to chat about briefly is we talked about kind of your love of sport. And oftentimes how sport can often intertwine with music as well. And so had a wonderful experience with your best friend where you drove down to the World Cup in 94, Ireland versus Italy. Can you talk a little bit about the role that music played in that trip?
Yeah, that was an insane weekend. My best buddy, who actually died last year, we've been buddies since we were 16, Ireland were going to play Italy in the World Cup in June 94. And we got tickets, which were hard to get, but we got them. And we drove down and we had the weekend of all weekends down in New York and New Jersey. But the Irish team were, you know, underdogs against Italy. But that day in 95 degree heat, they actually beat Italy in that game. And we went insane. But there was a song written at that time, and it's like an Irish soccer anthem, ole, ole, ole. But it's just it just was the rhythm of the whole event. And when you hear the song, it's the manager was a guy by the name of Jackie Charlton. And he would talk about putting the team under pressure. And somebody put his voice in with the beat of the music. And then, you know, the crowd singing ole, ole, ole. But what's in there is there's a person who plays the Illan pipes, which are called the elbow pipes. They're like bagpipes, except you don't blow into them, you use your elbow. And he does a riff at the end of that, which is just magnificent. So it's just a great song. And, you know, you can see why people would be turned on by it.
And wasn't there a story where at that trip, didn't like your sister turn on the TV in Ireland and you were on the BBC?
Well, yeah, like that. We brought a leprechaun with us. My buddy and I, we brought a leprechaun with us and we introduced him to everybody. And we were picked by BBC, the BBC, to do an interview with. There was a bunch of Irish people and there was a bunch of Italian fans. And he would talk to the Italian fans. So then when he talked to me, he said, you know, who do you think is going to win? I said, well, Ireland's going to win. But I said, my leprechaun here is trying to get a green card. So if you can do anything to help him. And my sister is at home in Ireland saying, oh my God, he's at it again.
Oh my God. Well, let's listen to this song. Let's listen to that anthemic Irish soccer anthem with the Liam Pipe riff, and we'll come back and we'll chat, okay?
Pressure.
Okay, so just wanted to, I think we're at time here, Dad. It has been such a pleasure to have you on the show tonight. It's been wonderful to talk about your experiences in all decades of music and the impact that radio and music and community and culture have had on you. So I just want to thank you for your time. And that was really fun.
I want to thank you too, Mary. And I'm proud that I stayed awake for the whole show. I know now where you got your crazy music love from.
Okay. Okay, well, have a great night, okay? I'll talk
to you. You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
In Hamilton, we're CIOI-FM 101.5. The Hawk.